So I'm going to do the listeners a big favor right now. I'm going to make sure that I've got the mic connected this time. Episode 55, we were going off this little onboard thing.
Right.
And the word I heard was tinny from one of my listeners.
Tinny.
Yeah, and it's a shame, too, because the guest was really good. We were talking about Hunger Games, good exposure. Wrong mic, so that's my gift to the listeners. And
a tinny Hunger Games.
A tinny Hunger Games, yes. Welcome to wherever you are. My name is Ryan McNeil, and you are listening to episode 56 of the Matinee Cast. It's the Movie Obsessed podcast of my Movie Obsessed website, thematinee.ca, your home for cinematic passion and perspective. Have you ever, dear listener, created a monster? Because I think I have. I think I have, and he's here today. I'll take you back a few months. A new friend came to me and said, "Hey, I've been reading your site. I've been listening to your podcast."
Honest. I pleaded for advice.
Well, but the thing was, is that you're like, I'm kind of thinking of doing this.
Yeah.
I gave you my little bit of know-how.
Right.
And then watched as the guy just sailed right past me, in terms of listenership, professionalism, niche. Oh my god.
I don't know if you can say professional.
I certainly like,
I don't have one of these cool mics. I'm using them in my iPhone.
It takes more than just a mic, my friend. No, my dear friend has eclipsed me quite well in terms of guests, as much as I love my guests. And he is tapped into covering some really cool TV shows and talking to some pretty cool guests. Mm. He is the brains behind the Behind the Mind Reels, a site you can find at themindreels.wordpress.com.
That's us.
And also the Mind Reels podcast, which you can find on iTunes. There will be a link in this show. Please welcome Tim Wright out to the show. How are you, buddy?
Dude, I am just great. Great. These macaroons are awesome.
And you know why you're great? Workday's over.
Yes. Well, I thought it was because, all that professionalism and...
Well, there is that. I mean it, man. I'm not blowing smoke
up your ass.
I'm blushing.
You can't see it. I am blushing.
Yeah. Full disclosure, Tim and I do work together, so he makes my workday go that much smoother. He, Susie Maynard, who you haven't heard on the show in a little while, and Beth the Danger Girl, we're all kind of thick as thieves, and the workday goes quite nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Before I get too deep into this episode, I want to remind people about something new I'm trying. I'm talking about the podcast on Twitter. I'm doing something a little bit different than just tweeting, "Hey, I podcast, go listen." And it's gone pretty well over the last few. I decided to kind of couple it with details about the guest and the recording of the show. It's a Twitter series I call Mike and the Mechanics. So for this episode...
I love that band.
Not bad. Yeah, I know. If you want to follow my Twitter feed today being Monday, April 9th, or by searching for #MATM56. Today, in episode 56, we'll be discussing The Raid Redemption. We'll be dedicating both listener feedback and the top five to action movies, but before that, we need to learn more about Tim. This is Know Your Enemy. All right, sir. I am actually, I'm quite curious to know the answer on this one.
All right.
What was the first film you remember seeing?
In a
theater?
In a theater, not a drive-in theater.
Oh, no, I like the drive-in theater. What do you got?
First movie I saw... I was 3. I wrote a huge post about this. It was 74, 75. Now I can't remember. You're going to know as well. Jaws.
Saw it was 75.
Saw it in a drive-in theater. My parents had this huge, we're going to use air quotes, discussion about whether or not I was grown up enough yet to see it.
Obviously the discussion landed with, he must be.
He must be, yeah.
Which, and were they correct?
Apparently, yes. I sat there. I ate the thing up. I was in the front seat between the two of them, and the way they tell it, I didn't take my eyes off the screen once. I just ate the thing up. And now Jaws is like my comfort food movie. I just watch it over and over again.
You weren't freaked out by it at 3 or 4?
No.
I was freaked out by that at age like 18.
I loved it.
And I saw it on a home video.
I went, apparently my parents went out, because I can see pictures of it in my head, so I know there's pictures and slides of it somewhere, but they went out and bought me like a shirt with a shark on it, and everything for me was sharks and Jaws when I was a kid, until Star Wars came along.
Now... Where you grew up in New Brunswick, were you anywhere close to water?
I wasn't in New Brunswick when I saw that. I was very landlocked when I saw that. Saw that in Calgary.
Okay. Part of me wonders if that played a part.
You know what? I'd never even thought about that, but...
Because, how's it going to scare you? You're going to leave it. There's no sharks here.
See, it's funny you say that, though, because in the first summer that I spent in Bermuda, I was at CFS Bermuda, which is no longer there. And they had a raft out amongst the water. So me and my friend Sean and his brother Carrie, we all kind of swam out there. And we're sitting there and we're like, do you see that? What is that? And we watched this huge fin swim in, not just by the fin by itself,
right,
but it came in, circled the raft, and went back out. And we're like, we were a little freaked until we realized, oh, it was just a marlin, but
Wait, can I ask a question? Why haven't there been any freaky marlin movies?
That is, you know, because they've got that long...
They got the pointy
thing. They got the sword-like nose.
I think I'm a little bit more afraid of them. Like, I think I could lose an eye real easy.
At least, you know what? That's something to look into.
I think we need to write this. We need to write the freaky marlin movie. What was the last film you watched before we sat down today?
No, last night I saw a sneak preview of The Bully. Or, sorry, Bully.
Oh, yeah, okay, The Bully Project. So, actually, we haven't really talked about that on this show, but what did you think?
I liked it. It's which is really weird to say because it's really tough subject matter.
Okay.
And I liked it, but it was a hard watch. Just because it's really impactful. The thing, after reflection and after a brief conversation with Sue, that I noticed was, yes, they talk to the kids, they talk to the parents, but at no point do they actually go and talk to, like, the people that they have now shown are bullies. They don't talk to them, they don't talk to any of their parents. Yeah, they show all
that
the kids
seems like
who get bullied, but not, you know.
I gotta wonder if that's editorial decision, because there's no way they got that far down the road of this project.
Oh, yeah.
And without at least talking to the bullying kids.
Because some of the kids that got bullied, like, there's a sequence that follows Alex, is one of the kids, and he's on the bus, and these big, kind of heavyset kids who are, and this kid's real thin, I mean, like, he's tiny, and they're reaching around the seat to, like, grab him and choke him by the neck, and you can actually make out their faces and stuff, so, like, why aren't we talking to these kids, or at least talking to the parents to find out what the hell? It's not an easy fix either, because you can't blame the parents, you can't blame the school system.
No, you
can't. It's a combination.
And you got to wonder. Now, we should kind of take this moment to point out the kind of little oddity that's happening with The Bully Project.
Oh, my, you're going to talk about the ratings.
Well, yeah, because our wonderful friends down in the States, it's rated R for language. There's a whole bunch of F-bombs in this movie. How many, if you had to count?
Honestly, didn't count, but in the first 5 minutes, there was like three or four easy.
Okay,
like,
so they're coming hard and
fast.
Yeah,
I'm going, that's exactly why they got the R rating, which is sad because now the MPAA is kind of not letting the audience who wants to see it or should see it
be able to see it. Now, the funny thing is, up here in Canada, we don't really care about naughty words.
It's subject matter.
It's subject matter. Or actually, I've noticed we're not really crazy about extreme violence. Because the Raid Redemption was rated R.
Oh, man.
So up here, it's rated PG-13.
It is. No, actually, they confirmed it last night that apparently got away with a PG.
Oh, well, there we go.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. What's one of the worst movies you've ever seen?
Oh, see, that was easy.
Really?
Troll 2.
Well, come on, though.
Honestly, at that point, I had not seen a bad movie that I just walked away and said, that is the worst. No, you know what? There's another one for you right there. The Pearls of Gwendolyn.
I haven't even heard of this.
Yeah, it was...
That sounds like it's got swords.
It's got swords and breasts.
Oh, well, what's wrong?
The writing was terrible.
Who cares? You got swords and breasts.
I saw it in the mid-80s and then rewatched it recently, just kind of working my way through B-class science fiction. And
tell me you didn't buy it. Bad.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No. Sorry, whoever owns the rights, but no, I didn't buy it. It was terrible. Although... Galaxy of Terror might fall into that, too.
Galaxy of Terror?
Galaxy of Terror.
Galaxy of Terror.
One of those John Corman films.
Oh, yeah.
It was good.
They're sort of trying to be bad, though.
Yeah, it was good. Robert Englund was in it, so...
That's not always a sign.
Sorry. But
now, how do you... Like, is it the same as everybody else? You just kind of sit down and... You must have known about Troll 2.
Yes.
Okay, so that one you actually...
I actively went out.
You made a point of it, and you're like, yes, this is terrible.
So bad.
Before or after watching the documentary?
Oh, you know what? I haven't watched the documentary.
Okay.
It is lined up on my Netflix to watch, but I haven't seen it.
Okay, because that's the thing, is I do know a lot of people... And for that matter, did you see it? Because around the time that it started gaining notoriety, there started being these almost like... Rocky Horror type screenings of it, where people... Who gathered knowing that it was so bad it was good and like laughing their way through it.
No.
Kind of like The Room.
I'm nowhere near that cool.
No, so you saw it hoping it was going to be fun or hoping it was going to be scary or something.
It was at work. One of the guys said, have you seen this movie? It's like the worst movie ever. I'm like, I'll totally watch that. Why not? So I can say I've seen it. It's one of those ones that you're not proud to have seen, but you can say I've seen it.
Oh boy. Galaxy of Terror, Troll 2, and Pearls of
Gwendolyn. In the Land of the Yik Yak was the full title. Yeah.
Look. What's a classic or essentially you haven't seen yet?
Anything by Woody Allen. There you go. Annie Hall. Never seen I've it. I tried to get into Woody Allen like around the time of Crimes and Misdemeanors.
Okay.
Couldn't do it.
Now, did it come up? Did it kind of cross your brain again about this time last year with Midnight in Paris?
Nope.
So just around Crimes and Misdemeanors, it kind of you had a thought or two, but you never.
Yeah, and the other two I made an effort to watch was Scoop and
Oh God,
and
dude.
Match Point. Just because I could watch Scarlett Johansson just walk.
Well, yeah, as many of us can. Yeah, it was. Woody Allen, it's kind of funny because I don't get all aghast and do that kind of thing with Woody Allen movies. Stanley Kubrick movies, usually the same sort of thing. First of all, most of his stuff, of course, is comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And comedy, it's either it's going to land
like it
or it's not. Yeah, exactly. So with stuff like Annie Hall and Manhattan and Crimes and Misdemeanors even, I don't really get uppity about, hey, how could you not have seen it? Because if that kind of, that dry, very, very highbrow humor, too.
Oh, yeah.
He's lobbing jokes about Lenny Bruce and mm-hmm. Ingmar Bergman. you're not exactly going to land in the bad books if you haven't seen that kind of thing.
That's true. Although I did watch a Bergman movie the other day, so.
Yeah.
Maybe
now,
I haven't grown up.
If you were to want to eventually restart the whole Woody Allen project, actually, I would say that Midnight in Paris is a good entry point. It is very much a Woody Allen movie. Like, Owen Wilson is very much the Woody Allen part. And you can imagine Woody Allen saying these lines.
Okay, but that's what threw me, because when I first saw the poster,
yeah,
and it's a very nice looking poster. It's very almost who's the artist? It's almost Van Gogh like.
Well, it is Van Gogh. Van Gogh's painting is in the background,
and it shows an image of the guy walking,
mm-hmm.
and his head's down. I'm like, oh. Because I thought it was Robert Redford at first. I'm like, that could totally be. And I'm like, if it's Redford, I will see it because Redford's awesome.
I found out it was Owen Wilson.
I'm like, yeah, if it's not like, Royal Tenenbaums or something, I just can't.
And see, that's the funny thing is actually, I don't like Owen Wilson, but I liked him in this.
Yeah, okay.
So maybe, no pressure, nothing, but that is what I would say. If you ever had the hankering for a Woody Allen movie, that is a really, really good entry point because it's got a lot of the classic tropes.
Okay.
It's surprisingly original.
Mm-hmm.
And it just because it's modern and everything like that, it plays. Some of the older 70s stuff, it doesn't quite play. But that one really plays.
I've got you kind of pressuring me for that, and then my friend Jeremy Lalonde, who's working on his new movie, he's a huge. Wow, my phone's doing
something. Wow. That is staying in the show.
Never happens ever. But he's a
fellow podcaster.
Yeah, of all the times. My dad calling me. Who knew? But Jeremy Lalonde, who's working on his new film, Sex After Kids, he's a huge, huge Woody Allen fan. So that is our only sticking point in our relationship. And he's like, how can you not like Woody Allen? And so,
I'll be darned.
We have a little fight every now and then.
Last but not least, what's the film you wish you made?
That's easy. It's my most favorite action movie right there, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Wish I had done that.
Well, there we go. We will be talking about that a little bit later on, but I, of course...
And starred in it.
Yeah. You want to make it?
I can do both.
Oh,
sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. We will talk about that later, but I think, wanting to make Raiders of the Lost Ark is obvious reasons right there.
Yeah.
So, there you go. That's my friend, Tim. You can see now why my work days are... I was going to say the joy that they are, but that's not entirely true.
That's not fair.
But why they're far less painful working with Tim and talking about such things. We'll be right back after this with feedback from episode 55, Your Chance to Come Talk to Me. Why are you shaking like a leaf? Come on, come talk to me. Please talk to me. Episode 55, we asked about action movies, which is very much the theme of this episode, and I wanted to know people's favorite action sequences specifically.
Mm-hmm.
We'll kind of dance around that when we talk about ours, but this is a pretty cool one. Nick Hatt from Being Norma Jean said, I really love The Bride versus The Crazy 88s in Kill Bill Volume 1.
All right.
And also, since I just saw the film, all the action sequences in Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Good for her.
You're talking to two people from Toronto with that one, so well awesome. Done. I was at the spot of the second battle,
mm-hmm.
the battle with Chris Evans.
Yep.
It was filmed at Casa Loma.
That's
I was
right.
there watching the movie last night.
Yep.
So I was having a little Scott Pilgrim moment there. Rachel Thoreau from the newly launched realinsight.com, where she is now writing with her podcasting partner, Jess Rogers, said, it's probably cliche, but I'm still in love with the whole 3-minute hamster wheel hallway scene in Inception. Call me boring, but I find myself having to watch the scene at least 2 or 3 times whenever I watch the film. I can't get over that. It's awesome that they built the hallway
and
spun the hallway. Oh, man.
A gimbal. That's the word I was looking for. They built it on a gimbal.
That's right. Yeah, it's awesome.
And that's, of course, how Spielberg did the truck and Close Encounters.
That's right. That's right.
I
he did.
Love that sequence.
Yeah, that is right. You know, but of course, Christopher Nolan took that and was like, well,
yeah, I can do this.
We can have a fight. Over on Facebook, Red George from Anomalous Material said you might have to pronounce this one for me, the March of the Rohirrim. Is that what it's called?
Rohirrim?
The Ring Wraiths.
Oh, the Rohir.
The March of the Rohirrim.
Yeah.
Why don't you just call them the Ring Wraiths? What the hell is Rohirrim?
You're completely wrong, because Ring Wraiths and Rohirrim are completely different. Rohirrim were the riders. The riders of Rohan.
Such a nerd.
I know.
Apparently that gives him goosebumps after watching it 100 times and any of the fight scenes in The Matrix. Aiden Redman from Cut the Crap Movie Reviews it was a different hallway. He said the hallway fight in Old... What's about the action scenes in hallways? The hallway fight...
Oh, yeah, in Old Boy.
The hammer fight in Old Boy.
Yeah.
He also mentioned the entirety of The Good, the Bad, and the Weird, which sadly is a movie I've been meaning to get to for years.
It's okay.
Just okay?
I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it.
Well, Aiden digs it.
All right, sorry, Hayden.
Sebastian Gutierrez from Reviews from The Supermassive Black Hole said Tom Cruise hanging off the building in Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. Ripley versus the Alien Queen in Aliens,
yeah.
The one with the mechanical suit. Gods versus the Titans in Immortals, which we saw together.
Yeah.
He calls it underrated. Me, not so much.
No.
The lobby shootout in The Matrix. The car chase scene from Bullet. The T-1000 versus the T-800 in the steel mill from Terminator 2. D-Day from Saving Private Ryan. The one-take battle in Children of Men. The Bagar sequence from The Adventures of Tintin. There are more, but we'd be here all day. Thank you, Sebastian. That's quite comprehensive.
So I'd be interested in his take on the big car chase in To Live and Die in L.A. Because that was shot completely guerrilla.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that. Over on Twitter, somebody new who read, I don't know if he just read the question or if he listens to the show, but somebody who tweets as @ChaseTheShade said the chariot race in Ben-Hur,
right.
The best ever made, bar none, and no computer imagery. I was thinking about that when I watched it, because that's
mm-hmm.
the size of like the lower deck of a football stadium.
Yeah, oh, easily.
Several thousand extras.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore.
40 horses, I think. 10 chariots, 4 horses each.
Yeah.
And you're just going and going and going. Well, you can do that. Most people don't.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's one of those things. And it's intense. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's shot well. It's cut well.
It stands up.
It's crazy. Yeah. There's the whole... It's so well cut that there's the whole urban legend that somebody died on.
Yes.
It's kind of correct, but not really. It's the silent version from the 20s.
Uh-huh.
Somebody died, and a few horses, died on that shoot.
I did not know that.
Yes. The one in the 50s, nobody died. At least not during that scene. I think somebody might have died
later.
Yeah, somebody died.
Heston's gone.
Yeah, there's that. Alex Hulse, I hope I'm pronouncing that correct, because he is from Toronto, although I have not met him, said the ravine car chase in Terminator 2. Andreas from Pussy Goes Grr. Seriously, it's her site, man.
That's brilliant.
I know.
That's brilliant.
The climax of Children of Men, which is a really cool
yeah.
scene. Hard-boiled
nice.
Hospital shootout.
Yes.
Well done. And get ready for this one, the beating of the ED-209 in RoboCop.
That's pretty sweet.
Well done. And Andreas, you were the only person who mentioned RoboCop, so hats off to you.
And what do you think of the remake?
Who's doing it?
I can't even.
Because for the longest time, it was supposed to be Aronofsky, and if Aronofsky
no,
makes a RoboCop movie, I am there.
It's not Aronofsky anymore. I do know that.
Then maybe yeah. it's pot. Like I've tried to keep an open mind about remakes. RoboCop is now By the time they get it done, it'll be close to 30 years old.
Easily.
Yeah. It's not exactly what I'd call a holy relic.
No, all right.
It's very good, yeah. and it's very, very cool. So I think it can be handled well.
Not
necessarily. So I'm not completely opposed, right. But I want to see the treatment, and I certainly want to see who's doing it.
Fair enough.
Brian J. Rohn from Dear Film and the Outside the Envelope podcast said the scene in the shipping yard in the movie Hannah.
Oh, yeah.
I can only half remember it. All I remember is the dude is walking around whistling again, which is half the movie.
That's awesome.
But
Jesus.
That whole action movie. Like,
she's fantastic.
She is, isn't she? Like, I wouldn't have thought that after something like Atonement.
Yeah, or Lovely Bones.
Yeah, I don't look at it. I'm like, yeah, there's an action star. And last but certainly not least, my friend Matt Brown, who is from the Mammo podcast, he tweets as Tedrick, said, deep breath, truck chase in Raiders, mine car chase in Temple of Doom, the car chase in the Bourne Supremacy, the space battle in Serenity. I just heard how Canadian I sound when I say the word Bourne.
Bourne, eh?
My God.
Good day.
The space battle in Serenity, free run in Casino Royale, the boat chase in The World Is Not Enough, ski chase in On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
This guy's a Bond fan.
Congratulations on choosing two of the weaker Bond movies, Matt.
See, I want to argue with that.
No,
though.
You don't. No, Asteroid do. Field chase in Empire Strikes Back, the Sarlacc pit in Jedi, speeder bikes in Jedi, space battle in Jedi, sensing a trend, the pod race in Phantom Menace, and the final fight in Rocky III. I almost don't have any sequences to talk about after all this. Aside from choosing two head-scratching Bond movies and one that I do dearly love.
See, I think I'm a huge believer that if On Her Majesty's Secret Service had been Connery, it would have been his best.
But it's not.
No. But so. I'm willing to forgive that.
I'm willing to let you be wrong.
All
right. we're going to talk more. Again, we're going to talk more about action movies later. But what did you come up with a sequence that you like more than
any
other?
Yeah.
One or two?
It's funny that Tedrick there mentioned one of them, but it's the entire sequence from the moment that Indy gets out of the Well of the Souls. So it's the big airplane fight with the big bald guy.
Yeah.
All the way through to the end of the truck chase. That is one of my all-time favorite sequences. And one of my favorite music cues.
Where's the music cue?
I could hum it, but
no. Where's it? No. Okay. Well, for me, I chose two that I couldn't really choose between. One of them is the final showdown, shootout, what have you, in The Professional.
Great flick.
Where you've got John Reno basically taken. Yeah. He's basically staging like a smaller version of the raid.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody's coming after him.
Everybody.
With Gary Oldman like going full Oldman.
Oh, that was
It's like the complete antithesis to what he did in Tinker Tailor Soldier
Spy.
Yes. You know, where he's just acting his ass off.
Oh.
As if his life depended on it. Love that whole sequence and how it culminates. And also, speaking of shootouts, the other one I came up with is the main heist in the third act
of Heat.
So you got these heavy, heavy guns in downtown LA. So really, you know, like, you can say what you want about how he, like, apparently he screws with the geography of LA and whatnot, which I don't really give a crap. You know, he knows LA well enough and he can shoot it well enough that if you're telling me that they make two turns and they end up across town, I don't really give a crap.
No.
They had them rehearse with live rounds and live guns so that they could get used to the weight of the gun against the body and everything like that.
Nice.
The sound in this movie is fantastic. I might be watching this
when
we're done.
I'm a big fan of Michael Mann films. I will watch almost everything he does just because it's Michael Mann.
But that for me is probably him firing on all cylinders. Like, I love his best movie, if you ask me, is The Insider. That Heat is my favorite.
Okay.
So that's mine. Well, there we go. Some great action movies to set the scene. I haven't mentioned this yet, but we don't really talk about action films on the Matinee Cast enough. So certainly getting a heavy dose this time. I hope nobody minds. I'm sure you don't. Of course
I'm
not.
Good.
So there we go. Next time around, though, when we come back for episode 57, we are going to be very, very close to Hot Docs. And I know that people's thoughts on documentaries are sort of back and forth, so I kind of want to know, with my listenership, what are your thoughts on documentaries? Do you like them? Do you not like them? Do you think that, like, people like Tim and I kind of talk about them too much, and, you know, you just can't sink into them? Can you not get enough of them? Let me know. You can find me, ryan@thematinee.ca. You can find me on Twitter, @matinee_ca. And, of course, you can go through Facebook or the blog. And that'll take us to this week's new slang, the Raid Redemption. Raid Redemption is written and directed by Gareth Evans. By the way, we will henceforth just be referring to this movie as The Raid. I don't know why the Redemption got added on after it premiered at TIFF. It stars... Oh, I'm going to botch these names so badly. Iko Uwe. It stars Donnie Alamaya.
Sure.
It stars Ray Sahatapi and Yayan Ruhian.
Sure.
So close. If you have not seen or heard of The Raid Redemption, first of all, we should point out that this film is getting a very staggered release. So, it was released on the same weekend as The Hunger Games in a few cities, LA, Toronto, Chicago, New York, and it will be going to more and more theaters as April and May progress and into the summer. So, even though you may not have seen The Raid already, do look for it. Really briefly, what it is about is, it is, well, it's a raid.
Ding.
And it's an assault on an apartment building, a 15-floor apartment building.
I think, yeah, it's like 15
floors. Where a task force unit, a SWAT team type unit, is there to take down a drug lord, and he's on the 15th floor, and they gotta basically just fight their whole way up.
Yep.
There is one guy on the task force who is an absolute badass, and he tends to do a lot of the fighting. So.
And he was the rookie.
He was the go figure. Tim, what did you think of The Raid?
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Okay.
The story was simplicity itself.
Well, yeah.
I knew exactly what all the little twists and turns would be, but that's not why I went to see it. It's a guy film.
Right.
I mean, there's no other words for it. It's a guy film. And I loved it. I got to see... Our audience was about... The theater was maybe about 75% full, and 80% of that was guys.
Yeah.
So every fight sequence, whenever something really cool happened, but it's just like, oh! So I had a really good experience watching it with everybody. So yeah, I really enjoyed it.
That's cool. I had a lot of fun myself, and it was kind of funny. I was planning just to see it alone. I went out on a weeknight after work to check it out, and I just went by myself. And while I was sitting there waiting for the film to start, my brother and two of our family friends came in. Like, hey, dude, what are you doing here by yourself? Actually, I think they use a different word than dude.
Starts with a D, though.
No. No. I believe the term was, hey, asshole. It's a loving family. Planning just to watch it by myself. And like you said, at one point, I took a head count. And I believe in our theater of 200 or 300, and it wasn't full, I counted 6 people who did not have a Y chromosome. So, I really had fun with this. Like, I think it kind of came down to mindset. I was just expecting I was expecting one long fight, is what I was expecting. Yeah. And that was exactly what I got. There were some cool things in it that we'll talk about in a second. But knowing that, like, just kind of going for some fun.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I wasn't expecting anything deep. I think I only wanted it not to really be offensive. The kind of thing that was going through my head at the time was, I got to thinking about this time last year, when I saw Sucker Punch.
Okay.
Which is, I think, a fair comparison. Because it's the same sort of idea where story is very, very secondary. You're just watching it to go from one action sequence to the next action sequence to the next action sequence. This one, it felt more... Certainly, it felt more plausible because you're dealing in the real. It seemed more grounded. I don't know if there's any CG in this. There might be like a little bit of wire.
Yeah,
work.
I was about to say there might be some wire removal, but
you know,
that,
like there's stunts. There's stunts aplenty going on here, but there's not a whole lot going on in terms of visual trickery or after effects. So seeing two dudes trading blows, that was really, really cool. And like you said, the story is nothing really spectacular, so you can kind of see where that's going.
And what I do like a lot about a lot of Asian cinema like that is that for the most part, they're full contact hits.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I watched a special with Michelle Yeoh at one point, and she talks about how in Asian cinema, a lot of the fights, I mean, yeah, they're slowing down their punches when they throw them, you know.
They're pulling them a little bit,
but there is contact. So so I'm watching the movie, and I'm like, it looks like there's a lot of contact going on there.
That's true.
But it was so much fun. And I didn't even watch the trailer before. You know, you kind of handed me your assignment, said, we're watching this movie. And I said, all right, I'm not going to learn anything about it.
Yeah, that was the cool thing was I knew that a lot of my friends went apeshit for it back at TIFF because it played the Midnight Madness Festival. Yeah. It was the Midnight Madness Audience Choice Award winner.
No surprise.
Not at all. And so I was like, okay, you know what? When it comes out, I'm going to catch up with it. I don't know when it's going to come out. It may only hit DVD, because sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
But I will watch this just based on knowing a whole lot of my friends dug it.
I've loved it.
And it was that sort of thing. Now, the question, though, that I got to ask, and in a small way, and this is going to sound wrong, okay, but you're kind of the wrong guest for this.
Uh-oh.
Because I almost wonder, is it too much a movie for dudes? Like...
Actually, you know what? I might be the right guy for this, because it goes back to... Sue and I interviewed Casey Hideki, who is this wonderful actress, but she's also a fight coordinator and swordsmith. Well, not swordsmith, but
she's a weapons master.
Yeah,
basically.
Okay, weapons master is a great word.
Okay.
And so we sat down and interviewed her, and all right, right there we've already established she's not your typical girl because she does all this really cool shit.
But I
had a chance to talk with her on the weekend. And she's like, I haven't seen it yet, but I really, really want to see it because she loves the fighting style that's used in the film. So I don't know if it's too much of a guy movie or not, just simply because there are a lot of girls who, you know, actually enjoy a good action flick.
Oh yeah, that's not really my suggestion because half the people who wrote about the action movies, you know, they're female for sure.
Sweet.
It was just one of those things that I noticed with. Like we said, both your screening and my screening, which happened like a week apart on different nights, probably they were in the same theater because it was only playing in one theater here in Toronto.
Yeah.
But it was 95% dudes.
I think it's because guys are probably more susceptible to the idea of just going to see a dumb old action movie.
Maybe.
You know, guys are like, yeah, as long as there's two guys slugging it out, or there's guns or explosions, chances are I'll go. Like the Expendables. Expendables is a great example. I love the Expendables.
Really?
But it's a no-brainer.
I didn't say. Well,
it's
yeah.
A no-brainer.
Yeah, that's.
And yet it was so much fun.
But yeah, that's actually one thing I want to know. If people are going to actually write back to. If people are going to give me comments. Any female listener, if you've seen The Raid, I want to know your take.
Yeah.
Because I am kind of curious.
I'd be interested in that.
Now, the one really, really awesome thing in the movie is the direction of the action.
Yes.
In this movie. Because we have entered a phase of filmmaking where a lot of the action is a couple things. First of all, it's a whole bunch of just stunt guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can tell, either by the cutting or by the way that the camera pulls back, that we're not watching the stars slug it out. So, in that respect, this was very refreshing.
Yeah.
On top of that, the camera, it does not want to cut like crazy.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
It's longer takes. Yeah. There's still, like, a lot of cutting.
Yeah, but there's not a lot of whip pans and stuff that you see in a lot of films.
There's that. And they don't do the trick. Somebody mentioned earlier, and you and I saw The Immortals together, which loved to do the trick of what I call fast, slow, fast.
Yeah.
You know, fight, slow down.
Oh, dramatic.
And then fast.
Yeah.
You know, so watching this movie, watching all of this play out and being able to identify everybody, feeling, certainly feeling like the landing of these hits.
Man.
A lot of them, it feels like broken bones. I think that really, really added to this.
Oh, it does. Totally. Yeah. I mean, it definitely grounds it in a reality that we don't really tend to see in even North American film nowadays, for the most part. It's just,
I can't think of another, think of a North American film that does this off the top of my head. Like, Hannah, maybe.
Yeah. But you could even argue that it's not really even a North American film.
What's it? Is that an English film, did you say?
You could call it that. Why not?
Okay.
But yeah, for the most part, it's a kind of cinema that does really well in North America, but for some reason we don't make our own versions of it.
Gareth Evans is not he's not an Asian director.
Not with a name like Gareth Evans.
No, well, I've seen him. He's a white dude.
Okay.
You know, I've definitely seen him. That's part of the reason why I think it was so successful in the screening you were at and the screening I was at, is that we're not used to seeing this kind of action all the time. So when we get, like, you know, this is from Indonesia, is where this film comes from. It is subtitled, in case we haven't mentioned that. Which I think it just...
like it mattered.
Set up,
fight. Set up, yeah.
That's a very good point. Now the thing, though, is that the counterpoint to that, because I think this is what a lot of people didn't like, is it too cartoony? Is it too much of a video game?
I don't know. I don't know if I'd go video game. Is it a little? It might be a little bit cartoony, but I don't know. It looked like every time that, you know, Rama there was landing a punch or cutting people with a knife or whatever, I'm like, that didn't seem that cartoony to me. But some of it seemed a little cartoony.
But just like what I'm saying is, does the constant fighting, because it's, like to make this clear, it's about 5 minutes of setup, and then 105 yeah. minutes of going up this building.
Yeah, blowing shit up.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Yes. I think the only point where it bothered me was when they dropped through the floor the first time, and then they're pushing stuff against the door and stuff, and I'm like, and all you hear is people banging against the door, and I'm like, didn't 30 seconds ago they all have guns outside? Weren't they just shooting now? And that's the only
real... They have guns outside? I didn't see them.
Even if they didn't, the guys on the floor above, we knew had guns because they were just shooting them, and it's going to take them that long to get down the stairs and start blowing stuff. That was the only...
Okay. Oh, that was... Okay, but that was logic creeping in.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the only real drawback for me.
Because I've... Again, that's another thing that I've heard people talk about is that it feels too much like a level-staged video game where you beat all these guys and then you beat the boss, and then you beat all these guys and you beat the boss, and... Yeah. They said, "Why? I don't necessarily want that in a movie. I really enjoyed that in this movie.
Well, it works
because it's not even like you beat the boss. Like, they were just going up floor by floor, and sometimes they actually had to come back down a few by hook or by crook. So, I think you got to know what you're signing on for. Like, it's certainly not what I'd call an intelligent action film. It's just an action film.
Yeah, and that's not to insult it at all.
No. It knows
what it is.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't want to be an intelligent action film.
It's just there to basically make guys enjoy." Fighting, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, so we'll move on to the souvenir. The one thing that if you could take away from this film, which I know it's so friggin' hard with this movie.
There were two sequences that just totally stuck out in my head.
So you're cheating. It's supposed to be one.
All right. If you're going to make me choose the one and sacrifice the other one.
Because I bet you $5 the other one's
really
probably
tough.
Mine.
But it was where Rama's got to... He's got a knife in his hand, so he's fighting in the hallway. It's one of those hallway sequences.
Yeah.
And... You see him, you know, he throws the punch, but then he brings the knife down and sticks it in the guy's leg, and then you see him pull the knife while it's in his leg, so you just know that there's a huge, huge, huge gash on that guy's thigh. Like, and I literally just sat there in the theater going, oh! And he does it, like, three times. I'm like, that is just awesome. So, yeah.
That is a cool one. My souvenir is there is a sequence involving two of the cops are hiding inside a hidden wall.
Oh yeah.
Okay. And one of the goons is on the other side of the wall trying to find them, and I'm not really going to talk about how he's trying to find them, but how he's doing it and how they're eluding getting found out is very, very cool.
Yeah.
It's been done before. It's been done in a few other movies, but it's still cool to see.
Done really well.
It's definitely cool to see kind of where it ends, because that's a great little moment in itself. Oh. It actually tells you a lot about Rama, as a character.
Wow.
So I well, we rate these films on a scale of 1 to 4. So, Tim Rideout, what do we give The Raid?
I'm gonna go with like 3.5. Man, okay. I really enjoyed it.
Yep. 3 for me. It's not that I didn't like it. Like a 3 is a solid B. It's solid like 75. For what I like and for why I go to the movies, I had a lot of fun with it. I would definitely recommend it. I usually want like a little bit more from my movies.
A little more substance.
Just a little, but this is like, basically, okay, here's what I'm thinking, is that like, if I'm giving it a B, I'm giving it a B as dinner, but if you're having a burger for dinner, this is a really good burger.
Yes, all right. I totally support that. Yep.
So if you've seen The Raid, I know there's people who really don't like it. I know there's people who absolutely love it. Let me know. I'd be really curious to hear what people think about The Raid. And in the meantime, we are going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with a top 5, The Best of You. Is someone getting the best of you? Is someone getting the best of you? So, this is kind of unofficially the action episode of the Matinee Cast. I took a look. I believe the last straight action film I talked about on this show
is Rambo.
No, yeah, right. Aside from some blockbusters like Pirates of the Caribbean and Thor, the last straight action film we talked about on this show was Sucker Punch.
Oh my god,
is this a much better choice?
Yeah.
So
Thor was awfully good too.
Well, definitely. Yeah. So unofficially, it's the action episode. And we are going to kind of wrap that up with talking about our favorite action films, which I know seems like a broad topic, but like I say, like 56 episodes in, we haven't talked about it yet, so why not, right? So once you get started, what is your first of your favorite action film?
I broke down into 5 and 6 because I couldn't choose between the two titles.
Cheater!
I like The Killer and Hard Boiled. And yeah. It was awesome that she talked about Hard Boiled, especially the hospital sequence, because that's all one shot.
Like no.
From the moment that they blow up that one floor, get in the elevator. While they're in the elevator, they reset the stage. Elevator opens. It's supposed to be all new floor. One shot.
Wow.
Yeah. Love that.
That is very, very cool. Now, it's kind of funny because I first learned about John Woo when he made the jump to America. Like, I learned about him around the time. Well,
no, not Hardboiled. Sorry.
Broken Arrow and Face Off and Mission Impossible 2. What?
The crappy one he did with Hard Target was his first American.
Oh, I didn't see that one. Actually. I was a little bit. I gladly missed that one.
Although it did have Lance Henriksen. So I'm just saying.
That was my introduction to John Woo. So a few years ago, when I sat down and I watched Hard Boiled and I watched The Killer, I was like, my God. I think very few people shoot a gunfight like him.
No.
And I'm kind of like, I kind of miss him.
Yeah, he hasn't done a lot. He's kind of, I think he's not only gone back.
He's gone back to Asia.
But he's doing more almost artistic kind of films now.
Yeah, he's doing like kind of like war period pieces. Yeah,
which is all well and good, but
sure, blow but, something you know, up. Yeah, I was going to say, he tried that in Wind Talkers, man, and we didn't like that. Me too.
Sorry.
I hear you. So both of them, that's a very good call. You know, the Lord knows the matinee cast needed some talk about dubs.
Yeah.
So, yeah. There's that. Well, my first one is new. Actually, it's just a few months old, but I cannot get over how much I enjoyed the film. Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol.
Really? So that literally in your top 5 action movies of all time?
I think so.
All right.
Because, here's the thing is that actually when, like, I was looking down my whole, like, list of the movies I love, 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 and a lot of the ones that I love the most, that, first of all, I kind of precluded the ones that you were going to talk about because, you know, your number one is actually one of my all-time favorite films as well. So I just kind of left that be.
Sorry.
But, no, you're the guest. But when I was looking down my list, I kind of lean more towards drama.
Okay.
And then there are dramas in there that are peppered with action. So, like, The Hurt Locker. I really, really love The Hurt Locker.
Yeah, I dig that movie.
There's action movies in there. I wouldn't call The Hurt Locker an action movie.
No.
You know, Inglourious Basterds. To pick 2 movies from 2009. Yeah.
Random.
I know. Go figure. There's action in Inglourious Basterds. I would not call it
an action movie. No.
Blade Runner. Same thing.
Oh, my love God. It. I love Blade Runner.
You know, but so that was the thing. I was trying to think about action movies that I really love, action movies that I had a fun time watching, and Mission Impossible was one, certainly for the unexpected factor, because this movie is so much fun.
It was brilliant. I think so we both saw it in IMAX, right?
Yes, we did, it's going to sound snobby or something like that, but I dearly wish that anybody who got a chance to see this movie got a chance to see it on a proper IMAX screen. Because it made just so much difference in scenes like when he's climbing the tower in the sandstorm sequence.
Love that.
Oh, yeah, it was like, it was so friggin' unexpected. Yeah. My friend Sean, who sometimes you hear him referred to on this show as the Cheshire Cat, we went to this film strictly, and I am not telling a lie here, to see the Dark Knight Rises trailer at the beginning. And as we were waiting there, we said, okay, worst case scenario, we have just paid $19 each to watch a trailer.
Yeah.
If this movie is even halfway good, we paid a little bit too much for it, and we got a cool trailer out of it.
All right.
That was money well spent.
It's totally money well spent. So, and I'm not even the biggest Cruise fan.
No, me neither.
And
And I had abandoned Mission Impossible after 2. I didn't see 3 in the theater.
Oh, see, 3 I really loved.
I wasn't fussed, and part of me wonders if I wasn't fussed because that was the only one I didn't see in a theater.
Maybe. Yeah, so you kind of had time to just...
Well, it's just, I don't think it plays as well on Blu-ray.
See, I don't own it on Blu-ray yet.
So I don't, but I rented it. I still do that.
I don't know what that word means.
Mission Impossible, Ghost Protocol, that's my first one. So what is your next
great action film? After that would have been, I'm going to say, The Road Warrior. Am I right? I am right. Yes, right. The Road Warrior. And Gibson made the list. I was a little worried because, you know, I was like, Lethal Weapon could be in there. But it's funny that you bring up, like, things like... you know, Blade Runner and stuff, because all of those are kind of filed in my mind under different categories.
Right.
Like, there's science fiction, there's sci-fi drama, all that kind of stuff. So, it's for straight action, yeah, it's Road Warrior, man, just because brilliant car chases, some wicked, wicked stuff with that kid in the boomerang, the feral kid, just, and it doesn't hold back, it's just straightforward, we're going to drive cars really fast, blow stuff up, and, yeah, just enjoy yourself.
So, you want to know why I just got really quiet?
Uh-oh, he's mad.
No, he's not mad. He has no opinion.
Really? You've never seen The Road Warrior?
There it is.
You're kidding me.
No.
I will burn it in for you tomorrow. I have it on Blu-ray.
It works well.
Yeah, it's it's so much fun.
Okay, so my question then is, do I...
Nope. No? You need to see Mad Max beforehand.
So why even bother with Mad Max? If what I understand is true, and it's one of those sequels that pretty much eclipses its original...
It really does.
Why do people even bother with it?
I don't know, because I love the Road Warrior. I like Mad Max. And Mad Max was, the first one, is a smaller film.
Yeah.
So the story's a little more personal for Max, because, you know, he's got his wife and his kid and blah, 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 blah. And that's what drives him mad, is because he loses them at one point.
Well, spoilers, dude. No, I'm not...
Please, the movie's been around since what?
I haven't seen it. I'm not going to see it now.
And that... Please, it's right there in the title, Mad Max. But, and, you know, it's set in the Australian outback, more or less. And it sets up everything. It has everything that makes Road Warrior great, but on a much, much smaller scale.
Okay, actually, I just thought of it. Is it akin to, and not that it's nearly as bad as either one of these movies, or no, I shouldn't say as bad, but not quite that same kind of level.
Right.
But it is akin to El Mariachi and Desperado.
Yeah, it's okay. Kind of the same thing.
Okay, there we go. There it is. So, well, I look forward to watching it when you bring it in. Maybe I'll even write something about it. Somehow, I don't know why that didn't make it onto my blind spot list.
I love that, man.
I don't know how that happened.
And, well, like the rating, it's just straightforward. It's just straightforward actioner.
All right.
No real plot.
Well, my next one, it tiptoes the line between action and Western, and it is a classic, Butch Cassidy.
Yeah, I just rewatched my copy recently.
Did you?
Yeah.
I haven't watched it. I actually haven't watched it in a year or two. Paul Newman and Robert Redford doing what they do best. It's kind of one long chase at various levels of severity. Yeah. They blow the holy shit out of a train,
poor train.
When they rob it. They do the now famous, the fall alone would kill you, jump down into the canyon.
Fall alone would kill you.
Yeah. No, I love that movie.
Yeah.
Just also cause you know, it's, the faceless villain,
the Fours.
You know, in this movie, they're just chasing after him. You don't know why. Well, you know, you can imagine why, but you they don't talk about that. It's kind of similar to The Raid. We don't really need a whole lot of exposition as to why somebody wants to get the crook. They just do because they're crooks.
I love that movie.
Yeah,
but see, once again, like I just said, that's in like my top five westerns of all time. Which is completely different than action. My brain's weird.
What's your next one?
Let's see. We had Die Hard.
Which is really the action movie.
It really
is. As far as modern action films, like you were saying just before we went on air here. is that it's the template for the modern action
film. It kind of changed the game back in 87. Because up until then, it wasn't just one guy against everybody stuck in the location. It was, you know, usually just one really bad guy and a whole bunch of guys going after him. Whereas
it kind of
changed it around.
Now, not for nothing, but you are a little bit older than me.
Thank you.
Sorry. But where I'm going with this is you can kind of articulate the shift better.
All right.
Just going on what I know off the top of my head, action before Die Hard was stuff like Rambo, stuff like Mad Max, it was stuff like Terminator,
Conan.
So explain the shift. Like, talk about what came before and what came after. Man. And
That's tough. I mean, before that, it was like, before that, way back in the day, there was a lot of like buddy cop movies. There was Hall. It was never, at least the way I remember it, and I hit my teen years in the 80s, so there was probably a lot of movies that I didn't see, although I've kind of tried to make that up now. But until that time, there wasn't a real working class hero.
Okay, there we go.
Because at that point, you know, John McTiernan, the director, kind of made John McClane this, he's just a regular guy who's just literally in the wrong spot at the wrong time, and things go sideways, which you really hadn't seen before then.
Well, there we go. So that's the shift, is that the hero stopped being capital H hero. Yeah.
He was a real guy.
Yeah.
And I mean, yes, he had police skills and he had a gun, but...
No, but, like, I'll give you... As much as we talk about them now, like, if you were to put Rambo-era Stallone, Terminator-era Schwarzenegger, and him in a line, one of these things is not like the others.
Yeah.
So that's the shift, and then and since then we've seen that.
We've seen a lot more, working all, class
all
guys.
All over the place, No, that's a very cool
point. And more importantly, he got hurt, like, on a regular basis for the movie. He got the crap kicked out.
Yeah, he's like a shell at the time. Okay, I wasn't around for this stuff.
That hurts.
I'm younger than you. You can tell this.
Stop,
you know?
That. I got
a little gray in the hair, but, I may be young, but the doctor will tell you I'm very immature.
Excellent.
Well, my next one, somebody did mention it earlier, and this is kind of where I'm going to show my age, actually. My next one is The Matrix. All right. So, forgetting for a moment about all the influence it has had on films that have come since, because in some certain ways, bullet time is one of the worst things to happen to films in a long, long time. I am thinking specifically about that spring of '99. And seeing this film, I saw little snippets of clips before going in. And this was before I was consuming every last bit of film information, you know, where the most I would see is like a magazine and maybe a trailer.
I remember those.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, holy, that's
kind
going
of before
back.
The internet. Yeah. So seeing this movie, seeing like the philosophy behind the movie, which was one thing all to itself, but the gunfights in the movie. The martial arts in the movie, the set pieces in the movie, that opening chase to try and bring in Trinity, where she basically dismantles a whole legion of guards, not even Smiths yet. That lobby shootout where they're just walking through shell casings, they're just ruining an entire lobby of a corporate building, and then it goes and goes and goes. Martial arts like we had never seen, and at the time. Effects like we had never seen. The one thing we didn't really talk about it in this episode, but Star Wars, which we both care about quite a bit.
Oh yeah,
the new Star Wars came out that year. Phantom Menace came out just months later, like 6 weeks later, and I gotta believe that somewhere, someplace, George Lucas was really, really pissed because The Matrix came in and basically just leveled it.
Yep.
And everything that it would do, as much as like I enjoy things about The Phantom Menace, but it did not nearly have the impact that The Matrix did just 6 weeks before and really, really change everything. And that was the thing, was everybody was thinking after 20 years away, 20 some years away, more or less, that if you're going to bring new technology to the Star Wars universe, that this was the kind of thing you were going to bring. So, unfortunately, time has not been kind to The Matrix. Not because the effects don't hold up, because a lot of them do. There's some obvious visual... You can obviously point out some of the visual cues now.
Yeah.
The problem is, it's just been played into the ground.
Yeah, it's like almost like a walking cliche now.
Well, it's just... I bet you $5 if we go turn on the TV, it's on.
It's on somewhere.
You know?
Somebody's watching.
Yeah, so... But I'm just... In its essence, in its purest form, if I were to hand it to somebody now, I love the action in it. All the fights, all the chases, all the gunfights, and I will always go back to that feeling of seeing it for the first time.
Wow. So lucky, because it didn't even make my top 10.
Well, there we go.
Wow.
That's the difference between you and me.
That's right. Not just age.
Not just age. What's your next one?
Yeah, that would have been Cameron's Aliens. Love that movie.
I'm not getting that from you.
Really? Let me try it again. Aliens.
Well done. Now,
love it.
That's funny because
there's
not
a bad beat in that entire film.
There's not. I lean more towards Alien.
Oh, see, I love Alien,
but you love Aliens more.
Okay. It's one of those things that's filed differently in my brain.
Because Alien is not an action movie.
Yeah, I define Alien as just pure sci-fi. Okay. I define Aliens as an actioner for some reason.
So Aliens, of course, now is de rigueur again because we're coming up on Prometheus. But so what is it you love about Aliens?
You know what? I would tell a story of when I first saw it.
There we go. Well, I talked about Matrix, yeah. So you take Aliens.
I was living in Bermuda at the time.
Nothing really.
And the American base just down the street from where I lived, which as Canadian Forces we had access to, had an outdoor cinema.
Cool.
So, and you know, it's Bermuda, so most of the time the weather's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. So we went to see it. It played two nights in a row. So I went to see it the first night with my friend Sean, and I think my sister came along, and we were sitting there. There's like only three teenagers in this audience of like naval officers, Marines, and the Marines were just eating this thing up. Like, yeah, it was akin to seeing. I saw Top Gun actually with pretty much the same crowd. So
yeah. Okay. So if you, I can only imagine how Top Gun would have played.
It was insane
on a naval base. Jeez.
So yeah, if you can get into that American military mindset,
yeah,
and that was my first experience with Aliens.
Okay.
Having just seen Aliens for the first time the week before, it was awesome. It was just
I constantly point to it. You know, we talked about RoboCop earlier, and that it's a remake. I constantly point to this as a sequel that can do something well.
Yes.
Use the universe you have established, bring in primarily new characters, and do something different. And that is exactly what it did.
It really did.
You know, it took that springboard, even though, like, I know Ridley Scott, who directed Alien, he's kind of testy in terms of talking about aliens. I don't think he doesn't like it. Like, I don't think he calls it any kind of an abomination or anything like that. It's just clear that that is not what he would have done.
No, well, if you've even seen the deleted scenes for Alien, which I think were actually restored in the director's cut, it completely obfuscates and destroys the possibility of aliens taking place after it.
I'm going to have to rewatch that now, because I have seen the director's
Because of the way that the aliens breed in the first film is completely different than the life cycle that Cameron introduces in the aliens.
I see. Yeah. Oh, that is a good point. So, now, of course, there's a lot of cool things in it. There's a lot, again, you got the guns, you got that great fight at the end when she's in the EXO. Cameron's second major movie, he has not, for me, he has not made a bad movie.
Oh, see, I'm going to disagree.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
is it the one we were talking about on the way over here?
That's one of them. You know?
One of them?
Yeah, there's two of his films that...
Okay, so on the way...
Not including Piranha 2.
Okay, no, we're not. So, on the subway ride here, Tim and I were talking about Avatar. I still like it, Tim does not. But what's the other one that you don't like?
I'm not the world's biggest fan of Titanic.
Come on, you just rewatched it!
I know, and technically it's gorgeous, and it's probably the best 3D conversion I've ever seen.
Okay,
so technically gorgeous, the story completely lame.
Well, yeah, but you needed something to do on the boat as boat sinks. You couldn't just show the boat sinking. They're doing that on TV now, and it's
true. But I think my sister pointed it out at the time that some of the dialogue that comes out of Jack's mouth is just terrible.
Sure, but some of the dialogue in Aliens is terrible.
Never.
Yeah,
well. And don't get me wrong, I do have a huge romantic streak, so I love a film with a good romance. So that's not it. It's just.
But not Titanic.
I'm just like, really?
You're made out of stone.
That's not true. That's impossible.
Well, right now you're made out of stone in Mount Rushmore, but all right. Well, moving right along, given that we talked about The Raid, I thought that we would be remiss if we did not get some martial arts into this conversation.
All right, bring it.
So, I was not born, but I think you were.
That is so cool.
Yeah. Enter the Dragon. I was. 1973, Bruce Lee. This is one of the kung fu movies. This is the one, like, similar to The Raid, where he dismantles legions of goons at one time.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, my history is a little bit muddy. It was kind of his coming out party in America.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It was like, I think it was just after Kung Fu and Green Hornet.
Yeah.
So it was like, as far as like the silver screen, and then he did a whole bunch of it.
Yeah.
And it is the Kung Fu.
The reference point for everything. Yeah.
Just watching
the touchstone.
Watching his intensity. Watching the other thing, like, we're talking about action a lot in this, and we were talking about heroes when you mentioned John McClane. Watching his charm in this movie.
Oh yeah.
You know, like, just like watching the way he speaks, watching the way he just sometimes how he just kind of he's sitting back grinning to himself.
He's really likable.
Yeah. And you can see how he would be. Well, first of all, he's a god. in his home country. Yeah. But just also how America would have gravitated towards it at the time. And how he plays off everybody else in the film. Yeah.
There were three posters that were everywhere when I was a kid.
Enter the Dragon.
One of them was Enter the Dragon, where, you know, the classic black and white shot of him standing, you know, with his chest bare and the three scars.
Three scratches across
his shoulder. Yeah, he's got his nunchucks. That was one of them. The other one was that Farrah Fawcett poster that was everywhere. And the other one was any Star Wars poster. So
it's like an episode of That 70s Show today.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Well, yeah, no, Enter the Dragon, I might actually throw that on after we're done here. I might have to.
You were talking about Michael Mann. Come on, man.
No, and I've still got Game of Thrones after all this. So I don't know. It's going to be tough to decide what I'm going to watch after you go. I'm just happy that I'm only posting a trailer tomorrow, because otherwise it would be hard to write and watch and write and watch. So there's that. You got one more, and it is your favorite. It is one of my very favorites. Much has been said, so we're not going to talk too long about it, but go ahead.
Raiders of the Lost Ark, man. Doesn't get any better than that.
I concur, of course. Just even from the opening sequence. We talked about this on the Steven Spielberg show.
I should have been here for that.
I know. Why is the boulder perfectly round?
Who cares?
No, but why did the Hovitos make a perfectly round?
Did that intentionally, so it would fit through this tunnel that they had carved. That is my answer.
You know why they did that?
They weathered it down.
You know why they did that?
I don't know.
Because the aliens told them to.
Oh, don't get me started. Don't get me started.
I love that movie.
Yeah, I love it to death.
There's that opening. There's him trying to like get on to the stupid submarine. There's, like you mentioned, there's the truck chase.
Oh, man. There's not a moment in that film that I don't like. I had my friend Dennis. We used to work together at a now defunct video store, not Blockbuster. And he would just come in and he would stop and just, you know, we'd bring a friend in and just, okay, watch this. And he'd lean over and go, Tim. And I'd go, yep. Neo. And be like, Neo, meaning new and lithic. I-T-H-I-C, meaning stone. All right, let's get back to this site, the 13 Baron of Haverton. And I would do the whole thing, and people would just...
I think you're actually bringing the nerd level of this show to new heights.
Yes!
Which is really hard, given its host. Although, I quoted Last Crusade to somebody this week in an email, so it's been that kind of week. There's not really much we can say about Raiders of the Lost Ark that hasn't been said. A lot of what worked about Tintin was that it evoked Raiders of the Lost Ark. I think a lot of the best adventure movies now, they evoke that moment. I'm even thinking of like the first Pirates film.
Yeah, the first Pirates film was fantastic.
You know, same sort of thing. They have fun. Along with all the daring do, they have fun. It's kind of... It was what I said was missing from John Carter, was that they weren't having that kind of fun.
Yeah, and you're not talking about, like, winking at the camera.
I'm saying, in the universe. Yeah, embrace the inner kid at the Saturday matinee with a popcorn bucket the size of his head. Aim for that kid, and the rest of us are just going to follow along.
Oh, hell yeah. I'll be there.
So, no, absolutely. My last one, it's not my number one, and it's actually a bad movie. But by God, do I love this film. I have a Criterion copy behind me. I'm not lying.
All right. I have it on Blu-ray, so it's okay.
All right. 1996, Michael Bay, of all directors. The Rock, starring Nicolas Cage.
Sean Connery.
This movie is dumb.
Oh, yeah.
This movie is ridiculously dumb. However, I almost want to, like, lash Michael Bay to a chair and make him rewatch this movie, because at the very least, it's a hoot.
Oh, yeah.
And that is what I think he has lost from, like, Pearl Harbor forward. I haven't seen The Island, so I'm going to throw that one out.
Oh, yeah.
But Pearl Harbor, Bad Boys 2, all the Transformers films. He started to take himself so damn seriously. His movies so damn seriously. He stopped making them any fun. He stopped kind of holding back and showing the action.
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing, too, is that, you know, I had fun with the first Transformers, but I had fun despite itself. I wanted it to hold back a bit and to show me the robots, show the fights. You know, we were talking earlier about heat and how it showed the weight of the guns. Show me, like, the gravity involved with these huge metallic things. The Rock... again, it's ridiculous, yeah, but it when they're fighting, like, I can feel the fights. Like, there's the one moment late in the film where two of them pile through a window, right, like, in the lighthouse. Yep. It feels like they're going through that glass. Yeah. The that great car chase through San Francisco.
I didn't steal your Humvee, I'm just borrowing
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Yeah, the Ferrari chasing a Humvee through
sweet.
The streets of San Francisco. Nothing he has done since then had any fun like that. Like, that is one of the best car chases I've ever seen, and I've seen a lot of car chases. Right. It is ridiculous. But it shows to me that Michael Bay can make a fun movie. Now, the funny thing is, it was actually one of his first movies. It was only his second feature film. He did Bad Boys, and then he did this. And after that, he lost the plot. Yeah. Dude, go back to where you started.
I stopped after. Although that's not to say I didn't see anything he did after that, because I did.
Yeah.
But every time I did, I had a seizure.
He's got a lot of good actors in it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not even talking about, like, Sean Connery and Nick
Cage.
Ed Harris is awesome in it. Michael Biehn is awesome in it. Get some really good character actors and let them do their thing. Don't bring in John Turturro and then keep him on a leash or make him into a cartoon.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my point with making that one last, is that if he wants to, I bet you $5, Michael Bay probably could make another good action movie.
Hell, he could, yeah.
But he's got to remember how he got there.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's probably as good a point as any to wrap up the action movie conversation. This episode 56 of the Matinee Cast, is at its end. Come on back on Monday, April 23rd.
Do it.
For episode 57, we'll be talking about Jeff, who lives at home. He's a nice guy.
Is he?
Jeff?
I don't know. I haven't seen any of the trailers. All I've seen is the poster.
And I'm like, he's good. Go see it. Man. I saw it at TIFF. I'm gonna go watch it again.
That's a good recommendation right there. It's also in the woods, man. Go see that.
I will. It's also because Jeff's a little blurry in my head right now, so I have to rewatch it. Otherwise, it's gonna be a short conversation. Tim writes at mindreels.wordpress.com. Do you have anything coming up?
There's a couple interviews coming up that I can't talk about yet, just because we're still firm up details and stuff. We are going to be at the Wizard World Comic Con on the 14th and 15th.
Okay.
Sue and I have a table, so you can swing by, say hello. We also have gotten the same day, one of those days, 14th or 15th, we're going to be sitting down with Catherine Mary Stewart from The Last Starfighter and Night of the Comet, and have an interview with her, so we're very excited about that.
Very cool. Anything coming up on the site for next week?
Yeah, much like you, we post an article every day, so at this point, it depends on what I'm watching.
There we go.
Yeah. But there's something every day.
And where can people find you on Twitter?
Twitter is at MindReels, or my creative partner Sue is at Wasted Heart. No, at Mary Jade. 32, I think it is.
72.
Yes, that's right.
My site is thematinee.ca. For more podcasting content, you can find back episodes by going to thematinee.ca/podcasting. Side note, if you want an archived episode, because everything before episode 40 has been taken down, if you want an old episode, drop me a line, leave me a comment. I will happily put it up. I don't think anybody does, but just in case. You can also find back episodes on Blueberry and on the iTunes Music Store. That's also where you can find the Mind Reels podcast. Everything gives you handy ways to subscribe for free and get alerts when new episodes drop. Feedback on The Raid, on documentaries, or on action movies that we might not have talked about today, although I can't think of any more, can be left in the comments section of the blog. You can email me, ryan@thematinee.ca. Twitter and Facebook, I answer pretty much everything. Any final thoughts before we go?
I gotta say, I actually like being on the other side of the mic.
Really?
Being a guest for once, because you and I, we much like you, we kind of just sit back and kind of let the guests just go. And it was kind of neat to be on the other side and say, okay, I feel kind of cool.
Well, there we go. So if you are a podcaster and you want a guest, let me know and I'll put you in touch with
Tim. Totally, I'll talk about anything. And I can be bought with macaroons, apparently.
There it is. Yeah. For Tim, I'm Ryan. We'll see you at the matinee. You'll find me in the matinee, the dark of the matinee.